following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Go, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. And that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Let's go, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
First, I'll tell you about True Car. 60 seconds, that's how long this commercial is going to last. What else can you do in 60 seconds? Well, how about you get an offer on your car? Just go to True Car, use your smartphone, or you can use your computer. Enter your license plate number and watch your car's details pop right on up. Answer a few questions, and you'll get an accurate True Cash offer from your local True Car certified dealer. You bring your car in. They'll check it out with you, do it together, ask questions, get answers, no surprises, then leave, and you can leave your car and leave with a check, or you can trade it in on a new car, or a used car, whatever you like. It's all at True Car. When you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, you always check out True Car today. It's a better way. It is True Car.
Hello and welcome to Corolla Classics for September 28th, 2019. We back. My name is Chris Loxamon, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show, and with me is Corolla archivist, superfan Giovanni.
Hey, everybody.
And hey to you, Gio. Reminder to everybody, this is the show where we're going to highlight the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show. Over 10 years of podcasting, and we're doing it right here, right now. So why don't we get right into it? This first one is from 2013. One of my favorite guests that comes in, Seth Green.
All-time great guest. Dates all the way back to Loveline. Predates Adam going on Loveline. Used to guest, I think the first time was with Breck and Meyer when they were like 15. And then he came back on again when he had an inappropriately aged stripper girlfriend that Dr. Drew was quite concerned about. But everything seems to have turned out just fine for him.
Yeah.
We played his first appearance. This is probably his best. It's a very long clip. It's just the interview with Seth. And it features a lot of Chris Griffin and maybe even some Chris reading from one of Adam's books, which may or may not be delightful.
I think it's delightful. I love when Adam did it. He did it with Seth MacFarlane when we came in.
This one's particularly great. It's Adam Carolla Show 1047. It's from April of 2013. Seth Green, Dave Damaschek, Allison Rosen, Brian Bishop. This is after Damaschek's left the building. Seth Green, Allison, Brian, and Adam. It goes a little something like this.
Seth Green in studio. Oh, I get it now. I like that. Good to see you, Seth.
Hi, Adam.
Always a pleasure.
Good to see you, too.
The Story of Luke is the name of the movie in theaters and on video on demand Friday, April 15th, winner of five prestigious film festivals. Let's talk about this for a second. How does it work with the video on demand and in theaters? And then what theaters are we talking about? And how do you find out what theaters it's in and if it's going to be near you?
There's a website.
And
I'm pretty sure there's a Facebook.
Yep. It's, Well, I'll tell you what. If they go to your website, will that work?
Yeah.
I bet it will. SethGreenOnline.com. And you can find out where the movie, the Story of Luke. So let's talk about the Story of Luke. How's it go? What's going on?
It's the story of an autistic boy who lived with a primary caregiver and was really insulated from the rest of the world and not really taught the differences between himself and everyone else, just told that he was special.
Like that Jodie Foster movie where she was a feral child.
Talking about Nell?
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
No,
he has a better control over the English language than she did.
Awesome.
So the guy's primary caregiver dies, and he gets given over to his family, and he just wants to do the things that a normal boy his age, like 25, 26, wants to do, which is meet a girl and get a job and have a life and be a man.
And is this, are you Luke?
No, I play one of his bosses, who's also on the autism spectrum, but because I've been raised amongst other people, I'm sort of, I've come to believe that the world is against me and my only purpose is to make normal people feel good about themselves.
Is it a comedy? Is it a dark comedy?
There's a lot of comedic elements to it, but it's pretty straight drama.
And who else is in it? And
an actor named Lou Taylor Pucci.
And did you what's your role in the project other than having a role?
Just
in
got
the
to act in it. Yeah, I just got to act in it.
And how does that work? You get approached by somebody, and how do you know whether you want to do it or not? You read the script, or you look at their past stuff.
All of it. I mean, I'm sure the way you carefully consider any job opportunity.
He has a magic eight ball.
well, in this case, the writer-director, whose mother runs an institution in Peru for people on all degrees of the autism spectrum, he wrote this story. He said he was just really struck by the teenagers and the kids in their 20s. Because they just wanted to do the basic stuff that people wanted to do, and they didn't want to think of themselves as any different than anybody else. So it's pretty inspiring for them.
It's really weird. All the autistic kids and whatever kids don't want to be treated or looked at as different than everyone else. And then all the people with no disorder who are douchebags want to be looked at as super special and different than everyone else.
Yeah, and they want to have a disorder.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of room for you guys acting like everyone else or autistic people acting like everyone else because they're all vacant because everyone else is acting like a douchebag. Everyone's like, act like they're fucking rock stars.
Anybody can be on TV?
Oh, God. Not only can be, but sort of deserves. Now, it's getting to be an entitlement. Like, we are going to be at that point where, and we'll hit this, like, in L.A.
We're in the middle of it.
We're hitting a point where I think they said in, like, July or August, there will be more Hispanics living in L.A. than there will be blue-eyed devils. At a certain point, there's going to be more people on TV than off TV. Well, I think it'll be 2017.
If you think about the internet as an extension of TV, everybody has the opportunity to be on TV. Everybody has their own distribution outlet.
Yeah.
I took a cardio kickboxing class because, you know.
Humble brag.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm in shape.
For self-defense. This was years ago. Mm-hmm. It's gone to shit since then. And the instructor said that she couldn't get – she put on a little headset like they do. And she said – she's like, you have to forgive me. I can't get sweaty today because I have an interview for my reality show after this.
Another humble brag. But how the headset – one of my favorite things in life is the unnecessary use of the amplified voice. Like the person who's wearing the headset.
It wasn't an auditorium.
They're in a van with eight people in it. And they go like, hold on, let me get my mic set up. And it's like, you can't, your voice not going to carry 9 feet
it's
to the
just
back
fun.
Of the van.
Everybody likes that. All the kids get like the Optimus Prime voice changer. Everybody wants one.
The best, saddest, but best is if you go to the auto show. And you go down to the basement where the guys are selling like the ShamWows and the Super Wax and stuff like that. The guy stands at the kiosk with the voice and the speaker set up. And there's two people standing in front of him at the kiosk and an amplified voice. The speakers are further away from the guy than his mouth is from their ears. And he says, is this thing on? Let me hold on. And then there's a part where I have to sort of tune it in a little bit. So Family Guy. What season are we on of Family Guy?
I don't know. We skipped 3 years somewhere in there. It was really confusing.
And Robot Chicken. What are we on?
We're about to start our seventh season.
It's incredible. it's really incredible when you look back, and I know seasons aren't years like they used to be, but when you look back on some of these shows you watched growing up that were like, oh, that was part of my childhood. And it's like, Dad, the Brady Bunch was 6-7 seasons. A Love Boat was probably 5 seasons or something like that. Like Dukes of Hazzard, my beloved Dukes of Hazzard, 4 years or whatever. Like some of these shows.
Well, there was less competition.
Oh, there was no competition.
There was only 3 networks.
Yeah. I know. So it just seemed like that was all there was.
It really, that's all there was.
I wonder, thank you. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I gave Allison an article, but Seth, you're a very creative guy and you do a lot of different, involved in many different endeavors. I've been saying for years, I think being bored as a kid is a good thing. Like, you know, most people who go to prison come out with a book.
But most people on the outside don't have the time to write a book because they're sort of reading other people's books and watching TV and doing shit like that, fucking, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think being bored as a kid brings out some of your creativity versus constantly being entertained by video games and things.
I agree with that. It forces you to be more creative. I think stimulus is important, but you can't only have stimulus because you then just become a customer. Like you don't have any.
You're walking through someone else's museum is the way I always
you're just a witness.
Look at it. Yeah, you're a witness. Yeah. Well, where did you grow up? How did you grow up? What was going on in your childhood? Yeah,
I mean, I grew up in Philadelphia and went to school there. But from the time I was 7, I was taking the train almost every day to go to New York on auditions. And then when I'd work, I worked there for months, and I worked all over the country. And when I was 8, I made a movie in Montreal. So I had really different experiences.
Were your parents completely cool with you going out into the world at that age? I mean, riding a train alone?
No, my mom took me on the train until I was like 15. But, my parents were pretty cool, I guess. Maybe marginally irresponsible.
Sure.
But, you know, I was a pretty driven kid with some pretty strong opinions.
I mean, you just wanted to act from the time you were 7.
Yeah.
And you didn't really have any... I mean, I know there's parts of your career that could have been considered lean weeks. I mean, did you have a horrible year at age 11 and a half where the work just dried up and you thought, geez, what am I doing? Or were you just pretty much going straight through?
Well, there was a weird minute after like Radio Days because people saw that movie.
Right.
And then
Woody Allen.
I grew a little bit and all of a sudden didn't look like a child in the same way. So I was getting like sent in on all the wrong auditions. And then I was doing really poor in school because I wasn't working all that much and hated my life and just hated school.
How old were you when you did Radio Days?
12.
Radio Days, I don't want to say underrated, but a really good Woody Allen movie that doesn't get spoken of enough when they're talking about Woody Allen movies.
I like that movie.
It was really good.
He's pretty awesome. And that was like, it was such a love letter to a very specific cultural moment that was, even at the time that we were shooting it, just history, like not even barely even able to relate to.
Speaking of great works of art, I believe you have my book in front of you somewhere.
Yeah.
I think we underlined a paragraph.
Oh, you set aside a passage. The instructions were clear.
A passage for you. This is, I spared you two paragraphs, but we do have the one where my buddy Ray put his dick in his mom's friend's ear while she was sitting and talking on the telephone in their apartment that I witnessed.
This actually happened.
Oh, yeah. I stood there while a 17- or 18-year-old Ray put his dick in his bare dick in the ear of his mom's friend while Kathy, who was on the phone, thought maybe a little Chris Griffin would be nice.
That's what we call poor impulse control.
Another time Kathy made the grave error of sitting down in Ray's mom's apartment and trying to talk on the phone. Ray was about 16 at the time. While one ear was occupied with the phone receiver, her other ear was wide open for attack. Ray came up behind her and put his dick in her ear. I wish I could tell you why, but there was no good reason.
Thank you, Chris. Not Taco Bell material, by the way. Out in paperback April 15th, the story of Luke in theaters and on video on demand Friday, April 5th. I think what we should do is do a little news and
we'll Baldy crack
wise. Oh, Baldywood. I keep forgetting about that.
We can save
movie
it.
Movie review. Now, we'll do a movie review with a little Baldywood. I'm curious. You do G.I. Joe? Oh, sorry.
Hooray for Baldywood!
They worked so hard on it.
Yeah. Oh, that was the outro. We need the intro. Thank you.
Hooray for Baldywood! He will tell you if a movie's good. Ryan will review the flicks that he's seen up on the big screen or in his Netflix queue. Before you spend bucks, remember his taste sucks. He loved that train wreck piece of shit, Transformers 2. Hooray for Baldywood.
That movie was about 90 minutes longer than it needed to be.
Maybe 120 minutes longer than it needed to be. the lyrics of that song allude to me having poor movie taste, so bear that in mind when I talk about G.I. Joe Retaliation. G.I. Joe opened number one this weekend in the theaters, directed by John Chu, who is from Step Up 3D, and directed Justin Bieber, Never Say Never, neither of which I saw.
You had me at Step Up.
Does G.I. Joe have anything to do with G.I. Joe anymore? And I know they license all these names from like Mattel and stuff, but
this is like
it's just
up,
we've heard of it, right?
This is straight up Hasbro Studios, pretty much.
Yeah, I was a big, obviously as a little kid, a big fan of the cartoons growing up, and there's a lot of a few of the same names used for characters, but there's no real connection.
Right.
Not like Transformers, which is true to the original, you know, source material.
Absolutely.
This one stars The Rock, Jonathan Pryce, Bruce Willis, Channing Tatum. They used a lot of new actors from the last one, which was admittedly a very, very poor movie. I was looking forward to it, and I hated it, and I think everyone else did too.
That movie's like my doctoral thesis, how bad that movie is.
It's terrible.
The last G.I. Joe.
The first one.
The first one, which is...
Yeah, so with this next one...
I should have a moment where we deconstruct the plot.
what
we
year,
would think more about the plot than the writers would have thought.
What year was the first one from?
2010?
Something
like that?
Like the end of 2009, probably.
That's about right. This one's written by Rhett Reese and Jonathan Wernick, one of whom I believe is a friend of Allison's.
Yeah, he's been on my show.
Yeah. Which one, Rhett?
Yeah, Rhett Reese.
They created
the Joe Schmo Show.
They had a big hit with Zombieland. That was their big movie, and now they're attached to a lot of... I love that movie.
That
was a great movie.
Yeah, that movie's
attached to a lot of scripts. They're kind of very hot right now. I can't believe I'm going to say this on the mic, but G.I. Joe Retaliation was a pretty good movie. I actually really enjoyed it. Now, maybe my expectations were super low. Maybe I was a little kid when the cartoon came out.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I was ready for a dumb, fun action movie. But there were a couple of very well-done action sequences, like just sort of standalone. Bob, that was impressive. I honestly laughed out loud more than I did during Burt Wonderstone. I actually had more laugh out loud moments. There were 5 or 6 months where I kind of chuckled.
The Rock's great, right?
The Rock was great. He was so good. Rock. He was the best I've ever seen in The Rock.
He's pretty awesome. I love that he's wrestling again. That just makes me so happy.
A curious lack of arm butter. I'm wondering if maybe they used it all up on
Fast 6. Yeah. All right. So we should see G.I. Joe Retaliation.
It's getting 29% on Rotten Tomatoes. So keep in mind that it's G.I. Joe. It's a sequel. It was delayed 9 months. 9 months they pushed it back. It was supposed to come out last summer.
That's because Channing Tatum had 21 Jump Street and Magic Mike.
That could have been something
to
do with
it. Is that why they pushed it back?
Did I say that?
He became a much bigger star in the meantime.
He knows.
But it far exceeded my expectations. I enjoyed it. If you want a very fun action movie, heresy perhaps. I would not be surprised. I would not be shocked if this movie was actually up for an Oscar in... Best Picture now. In Best Sound Editing and Sound Mixing, the movie sounds great. There's some really good sound in this picture.
Well,
it's a good theater.
I got to say this. I always travel. I never have any time. I work every weekend. But this weekend...
You can do much worse.
No. I'm saying this weekend, we're going to be at Stand Up Live, and we're going to be doing our shows in Phoenix, and we will have a Saturday.
We will.
And I told Matt, the Porcelain Punisher finalier, find a theater nearby because I'm seeing a fucking matinee for the first time in about 3 years on Saturday. And maybe I'll make it G.I. Joe.
You know what's great?
Rhett Reese is an Adam Carolla fan.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
so you should try
really
to like it.
See this.
Somebody's got to videotape Adam's reaction when he discovers a matinee costs $14.
you'll be glad to have missed the opening weekend crowds. Opening day crowds are typically unpleasant. Mm-hmm. And there was one guy when they were showing trailers, the next Fast and Furious trailer comes up, and a guy's walking to his seat, and he turns to the screen and goes, "Vin Diesel!" And he just yelled it out in the theater as though he needed to be addressed to the screen.
I do like the people just sort of say what they're thinking or what comes to mind.
Yeah,
I got a worse one. The kid sitting behind me, the first opening crawl is North Korea. And as soon as it says that on the screen, he goes, "Ching Chong!"
Wow.
That was his reaction to seeing the words North Korea.
Wow.
And what was the audience's reaction to that?
No, I would say kid about 19 or 20. He seemed to be college-aged.
I don't know. He's really
getting educated.
I feel like 19-year-olds back in the day were 3 years in the military, had fucked at least 4 whores,
and had
killed a man.
Which day are we talking about?
Like back
World
in
War
the day,
II-ish?
Yeah, World War II-ish, uh-huh. Yeah.
The day.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And... Now 19-year-olds grow up on Yoo-Hoo and video games. Like,
I don't think it's
not emotionally
video games.
Mm, what do you think?
It's probably all the Jersey Shore and Real Housewives.
Yeah, there's probably that too. Yeah. All right, should we do thanks, Paul?
Last thing, if the dumb action movies aren't your thing, I recommend a smart action movie starring Seth Green, The Italian Job. Go out and rent that one or stream it on Netflix.
I did like that movie a lot.
Great movie starring Seth Green, of course.
And Minnie Cooper's real star of that movie.
Hooray for Bollywood!
I do particularly, I enjoyed all the driving through the sewers of L.A., and I particularly also enjoyed the beginning when they were in the canals, the Venice canals. I thought that was really cool.
It's a good movie start to finish.
It's a fun movie.
That's a lot of fun.
All right. Shall we do a little news, Allison Rosen?
Yes.
The news with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison. Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with zip it cut. It's Allison. Allison.
By the way, I should, sorry, go ahead.
Just watching your face while that, like, delightful music is being played, you're just...
I was reading the screen. Phoenix, by the way, Teresa Strasser, our own Teresa Strasser, and Frank Caliendo coming out on Friday night, if you want to come out and say hi, and again, Saturday. And Mike August is going nuts because we're selling Mangria by the bottle over there. So come on out, drink some, and take some home, the white just out. Little love to one of our fine sponsors, LegalZoom, baby. Got to prepare for the future. Financial planning, insurance, all good. You want that peace of mind. You want your family legally protected. That's where LegalZoom comes in. It's a return for your affordable legal protection, and it's legal protection you can trust. LegalZoom.com, personal wills, powers of attorney, living trust, real estate documents, and more. You can incorporate, you can start an LLC, filings, trademarks, copyrights, all at LegalZoom.com.
LegalZoom is not a law firm, but they can connect you to an attorney and provide self-help services at your specific direction. For even more savings, enter Adam in the referral box at checkout. If you're a parent or an entrepreneur, don't wait any longer. Call or visit LegalZoom.com and protect what's yours.
All right, now the news.
Remembered something very exciting to me. Mm-hmm. There was going to be a Facts of Life spinoff. Seth Green, you were in that episode, weren't you, where Blair buys Eastland?
That's true.
I remember that.
You do remember that?
I started watching the reruns. They're running on like Nick at Night or something like that. I can't get enough of it. I love Facts of Life.
And Juliette Lewis and Mayim Bialik were both on it.
Yeah, wow. It
TV's Blossom.
And
an Oscar nominee for Cape Fear.
She... By the way, Allison calls herself a Facts of Life fan, but only one person in this room was at a Facts of Life taping as an audience member in the 10th grade.
I just rub my nose.
That's right.
Just, it was proximity. He grew up with Molly Ringwald.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, I had the Ringwalds down the street from me.
But in the show.
I did. Yeah.
She was in like the first season.
That's right. Mm. And then they cut the fat.
And you weren't you dressed as a girl in the episode?
Probably.
I think so.
I don't know.
I remember. I could do your lines if you want. Okay.
Really?
So only maybe, possibly. So Chris Brown went on the Today Show to promote his new album X and agreed to talk for the first time about the Rihanna incident. Mm-hmm. So in this clip, which we're about to see, Matt Lauer has just said to him, a lot of people speculate that Rihanna is making a bad choice by getting back together with Chris Brown. And what's his reaction to that?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, you know, I think it's just me proving myself once again. And also just me being a man and, you know, knowing that what I did was wrong and never doing it again. So as far as me and her are concerned, she knows my heart and I know her heart. So I'm not really focused on, you know, the negative. Everything about it is positive for me. I've learned through, I did my 52 weeks of, you know, counseling and learned that it was absolutely wrong, you know. And
counseling,
and
did you go through therapy or was it just counseling?
It was counseling, it was domestic violence counseling, and we 52-week program every Monday in Virginia. You know, I remember going and, you know, just sitting in there and just like, yo, why did I do what I did, you know, and really wanting to just get help. You
and
know?
You're sure it will never happen again?
Absolutely, yeah.
Here's. Thanks, Matt.
I feel like the laughter, is so inappropriate at this moment. I don't know. What reaction are you guys having to
seeing this?
People
are just uncomfortable. I mean, look, I believe people are sort of wired a certain way. I don't know. It's sort of like if a dog bites the mailman, then they'll bite the babysitter at some point or the UPS guy at some point usually. I don't think – I don't have a switch where I'm capable of beating a woman unless she's mouthy, you know. But I don't have a mode where I put my hands up and punch a woman. It's not, and listen, don't get me wrong. I hate women. I just have no mode.
Who's lazy?
I couldn't ball my fists up and hit a female in the face. I have trouble hitting males in the face, although I would happily do it if they tried to hit me in the face. But either I do believe you're either capable of doing certain things or incapable of doing things. And then once you're capable of it, then you can do it again. It's not a matter it would take more to get you to do it the second time around, but I don't know. Seth, what do you think?
You know, people change, but at the same time, I think we've all just become so concerned with other people's business. I mean, here's two people that none of us know that have something between them. They're still hanging out. They're still going out together.
I don't get, by the way, the part where it's like, she's back with him. Like, oh, who gives a shit?
I can't speak for anybody else. A lot of people feel it is their business, but it's just none of my business. I don't know them enough to weigh in on whether or not they have worked out their domestic problems.
I think the thing, getting past the fact that it's none of our business, because I'll just make it my business. The thing that's hard about it is there's such a high, it just feels like the classic domestic violence pattern where he most likely will beat her. It's like watching a car wreck in slow motion. It's like, it's so dangerous. What are you doing?
Rihanna. There are people people I'd like to get beaten much less than Rihanna. Not that she needs to be beaten, but she does seem...
I hadn't thought of it that way.
She's fairly obnoxious. I'm not worried about her.
I met her. She was quite lovely.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm going to make an observation.
She's very tall.
I'll make an observation about Seth's beard. changing topics here, but I'll get back to it. If you pull up a picture of one of G.I. Joe's buddies, maybe the one with the ginger hair.
Oh, like old school G.I. Joe.
Old school G.I. Joe has a beard, had a friend that had a beard.
They all had beards.
That looked a lot like the beard that Seth is rocking right now, by the way. All right, so.
Wait, you'd laugh. I'm gonna play like, not exactly, but sort of a version of Alex Salkin.
Who?
So I'm growing the beard.
Oh, that's why you're growing the beard. Yeah. When is that coming up?
Next week. Actually, I start tomorrow.
Wow. That's good. but is Rihanna involved with this project?
No, thank you. Well, maybe a dream sequence or something.
All right. I don't want anyone to be beaten. But these are two super rich people that are just free to fuck and be in love if they like. Wrong G.I. Joe.
That's Conan.
I need earlier. Ryan. I need old
like
school.
60s.
You talk about the dolls.
I'm talking about the dolls.
There you go.
From back in the day. The dude on the left does have a little Seth in him.
Shit, maybe I should tame it.
All right.
I just guarantee you, Alec has never looked in the mirror and been like, oh, let me get this under control.
So nobody wants to see her get beat again. On the other hand, I sort of agree. We have people shooting each other every day. There's people in other countries starving every day. Like, we're way too much into this.
Mm-hmm. But I also, like, before she decided to get back together with him, I had much more of an opinion. But once she's like, I know what I'm doing, guys. Right. I love him and we're going to be together. I'm like, whatever. I don't know
either. Because you feel like it's her business, or because you feel like there's nothing you can do, or if you, I'm just wondering why you had more of an opinion before.
I'd say it was apathy and helplessness.
but I'd say mostly apathy.
But that's exactly it. They're not. And if they were, then I would weigh in on it because I would be close up enough to be able to say, oh shit, I think you're doing this. But from the outside perspective, like, think about Adam. Think about how long you've been on television. Mm-hmm. And on radio with people listening to you and thinking about you and how public you are with everything about yourself.
Sure.
You would kind of assume that people would, even at a cursory glance, know a lot about you, right?
Right.
And I can guarantee you that people just don't. Even in the internet age where you could literally look at the sum total of a person's footprint,
right,
you know, on this planet thus far, you still don't know anything about them until you hang out with them. I met Chris Brown at the MTV Awards twice. I would not say that I have any room to have an opinion about his mental state.
The worst case, not the worst case, but sort of the worst case scenario is that Rihanna gets punched by Chris Brown at some point in the future.
And everyone will say,
cosmically
she's so
doesn't
foolish.
Change
she made
things,
her own bed.
Doesn't change things that much. I mean, we've all... Well, what I mean is there's people being punched in the face by life every day. There's people that work super fucking shitty jobs.
Yeah.
There's people that just live in poverty. I mean, there's so much misery on the planet.
I think that's
poverty.
But don't you think that's it? Don't you think that's why we all have become consumed with celebrity in the last
yes.
10 years?
Well,
It's easier to talk about than stuff that is, you know, huge and insurmountable and faceless.
You see one of those commercials
like
for Doctors Without Borders or something, and you see those kids' faces, and you're like, oh my God, I can't.
Let me turn on Vanderpump Rules.
Right, and that's what happens. And then the big problem is the poodle's hairstyle got fucked up when the mobile groomer came over. And
those
then we
two
focus
hot
on
people
it.
Are fucking again.
That's right.
Ugh.
Yeah. That's what we do. we're really weird in that we don't really work big to small in the problem department. You know, whatever Chris Brown and Rihanna end up doing to each other or not doing to each other means nothing to society, humanity, our kids, our family, or really anyone except for possibly her orbital socket. And even if she gets that orbital socket crushed by his right hand, she'll still be fine.
Well, then there are people who say, well, she's a role model. You know, what about all the younger people that look up to her?
I think she abandoned the role model concept when she took selfies of her she took self photographs of her topless.
She's a bad role model. All right. Or a spectacular one, depending on
I think
on
if
how
you're
you
looking
look
to
it.
Rihanna as a role model, you probably need better parenting.
Yeah. I think she's just a model.
She's a great pop star.
Yeah.
She's super talented.
That's what she does.
And dancer.
And listen, I've been complaining. Her hair's too short for the last 5 years. Now she grew her hair out. Now she's
like
the hottest
she
chick on the planet, right?
Listen to you. Mm-hmm.
She follows all you right. on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. So we talked about Kevin Ware earlier. Mm-hmm. We are absolutely not going to watch the video.
Oh, the guy with the compound fracture?
Yeah. Yes, where the tibia was...
Not for me.
Was poking out of the skin. But here's the thing that I wanted to get your opinion on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's from the article. The horrific injury devastated his teammates and several fell to the court crying.
Uh-huh.
And when I heard this on the news last night, at first I thought someone died based on how they were describing the reaction that everyone was, you know, falling to the ground crying and stuff. Mm.
Chris Brown punch him in the shin again? Or is that him doing it? Yeah.
Yeah.
He cried.
So, yeah, I'm just... Is that the normal reaction of team members when someone gets injured?
I think there's a feeling when you're when something is possibly career ending, and I don't know if this guy had a future in the show, as it were, or not, but when you see somebody's career just leave in a split second, like if they dumped acid in Seth Green's face, and he could never act again.
But it's also just that basic human, oh my gosh, I didn't know what that looked like in person. Have you ever seen like a broken bone in person? It's
also,
there's
the element of I play in the same game that this guy plays in and do the same activity that he just engaged in, which now has exposed me to his tibia. So there, some of that is internalizing, like that could be my tibia next time.
Right.
Yeah.
See, earlier in the show, Adam and I were talking about how we like to avoid super disturbing videos and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You're kind of a... You're
thrill seeker.
Multimedia internet guy.
Yeah,
what
I don't spend
do?
A lot of time watching skateboard videos. But when I was a teenager and I was sort of just getting out in the world and trying to see what all was out there, and before the internet, when you had to really seek this stuff out, I watched all of that. I watched all the
Faces of Death.
Yeah, and beyond. It was like big accident, like riot footage, you know. Just I don't even know why. I think I was just trying to see everything that was out there to see what really got me and didn't. And
what really got you off?
Not got me off, like got me, oh my gosh, that's horrible, or what I was desensitized to. Especially when you're a teenage, I think you go through a lot of like just complicated emotional stuff, and I didn't really have my parents around, so I was very just figuring things out on my own.
Well, this is true when you're a teen, which is interesting, is you're trying to kind of tune your divining rod and set your own mark. So it's like stuff you're interested in, stuff you're not interested. We can hear you take a hit off the Mangria. That's fine.
Can you?
No, it's fine.
That's delightful, Mangria.
Enjoy it.
Well, that's got to be at least 20 proof alcohol.
21, thank you.
21 proof alcohol.
My feeling with the seeking it out, it's sort of like, for me now at the age I'm at, going and actively burning calories to find those sort of grotesque pictures is sort of like going into the bathroom at the airport and hoping there's a shit in the toilet. Like, I'm the exact opposite. I hope no one has ever shit in this toilet. I'm going to bust this toilet's hymen with my dookie. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, my God. Have you ever crapped so in a virgin visuals. Toilet?
I would like to think.
Haven't you renovated a house?
I have. You're right. I do miss the part where they put the paper hymen on the seat that you could like break it like an opening of a toilet
seat. Yeah, I karate chop that with my foot.
I also always sort of fantasize about sliding it off, taking a shit in there and sliding it back on for the maid.
Sometimes or the next sometimes guy. I fantasize about leaving it on and then pooping.
Yeah.
You don't see those very often.
You don't see them anymore at all.
Break it with your poop.
Why?
The best, and I decided I was pretty hardcore last weekend in Utah when I was staying at a hotel that had the little gold seal sticker that was on the toilet paper roll.
Yeah,
because
fancy.
We all know that problem of walking into a hotel room when the toilet paper rolls exposed and having it roll down
a quarter inch nightmare.
As we shut the door. I don't know. I'm offended that this is in the breeze. I kind of like it that way. But
yeah.
I did the move where I pulled it down, pulled off, tear off about, 18, 20 inches of it, realized the gold sticker was still on there and went, I'm hardcore. I'm going for it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So hardcore.
I don't care about your pipes.
That's fucking hardcore.
Did it stick to your butt?
It's still there, yeah. Yeah. It's prevented me from shitting for almost 2 days. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's got corking properties.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Here's a toilet issue. So where I live now, the toilet paper roll is not on the wall. It's like behind me.
Yeah. Mm.
So I have to basically throw my back out to get the toilet paper.
A lot of injuries every year.
Yeah. Mm. You have
right.
no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I had to change my insurance. And it's pretty much impossible to put a new toilet paper roll on the thing. To replace it while you're sitting there.
Have you ever seen the pedestal toilet paper roll?
No, what is that?
Yeah. You got to check out Sky Mall,
it's
man.
It's like a freestanding thing.
Yeah.
Put it where you want. Shapes
I feel like maybe I should get that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it'll save you a lot of frustration.
I put one by my love seat just to confuse guests. So I'm trying to send a weird message.
That's a strong plan. I like that.
Sending a message.
I like to put that sanitary thing that on by all my couches.
Too. Yeah, that's good, too. As I always say,
there you go.
That's
like a fancy one. I'm talking about just like the pole. You can just stick
the
top.
Thing. There's
like just on the end of the plunger.
A couple things have gone on in our society.
You need a rim to hold it in place.
Toilet paper rolls have outgrown the receptacles that are in the walls from like the houses from the 30s and
just
the 40s.
Just like the cars in California. Just like the streets in California have outgrown the cars and the traffic.
Yeah, they're like too plump to fit in there. And then there's that place. You ever do that thing where you're like there's the public bathroom, they make you fight for every piece? Like,
what is with the
ass shaming here? Yeah. And by the way, I'm not going to go, oh my God, this thing's spinning freely. I'm going to make a fake Santa beard out of all this extra. I'll just use enough. Take my word for it, airport person.
Use
enough to wipe my ass.
I'm going to let you in on something. If you grab around the back of it and lift up, the whole front of it comes off.
Oh, you mean for the dispenser
thing? That's how they change
thing?
It, yeah.
Oh.
So if you just do that, you can get
your
hands all over it. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it. I'm going to town next time. Extra.
I feel like that adds like an extra 3 minutes to the process when you have to get one square.
And also every one of those single squares becomes unsatisfying. You're like, I'll never use you alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I need you and your brothers. You know what I mean? Like you're a chain.
Because it's that low-grade paper in the first place. It's like
you may as well not even use paper.
Yeah.
Might as well just use that magazine that you'd bought to read because it's the same consistency.
Yeah, they don't splurge in the ass department at the airport.
Mm. Now, have you ever used a toilet seat cover in a pinch?
Here's my
as toilet paper.
Here's my.
I blew my nose in one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've used it as a really hand drying because a lot of times towels are out, you know, and that stuff works in a pinch for drying hands.
Couple things, as I always
like
say,
to pat every stranger on the back as I'm walking. Oh, hey, good game, guys. Good game.
There's couple realizations I had. First off, the animal who likes to leave his on the seat for me to either use again
or
at least observe and acknowledge. Like, really? You didn't want to make that part of the flushing process.
Right.
Well, they threw it, but clearly the aim is terrible. And then he just wasn't going to go back in.
They have the flap that falls down to suck down. I've realized what that...
What that's for. Mm-hmm. The tongue.
Mm-hmm. It's a ripcord to nowhere. I mean, to the ocean, to the bay.
Yeah.
It's an anchor.
But as I always say, the porta potties with the sign that says Mexican space shuttle on the outside and on the inside, free cowboy hats with an arrow pointing down to the seat liners is the only thing I miss about construction.
Obama shot some baskets at the Easter egg roll. In honor of Easter.
Mm. That almost sounded like a completely different report.
Yeah.
Obama shot some
or just stop it. It shot.
Right. And he got 2 out of 22 in, which I feel like I could do that.
For a guy who plays as much hoop as he plays, he should be sinking more.
Don't they have
a
court at the White House?
Yeah, I think he...
Does he just not have the time to really work on it?
There's speculation that did he do this on purpose? Was it so that it would look like he doesn't have time to practice? Because he's so busy.
No.
His team was down by 2. He had to brick the free throw so they could get the rebound.
I'm sure people are really overthinking
it. They're overthinking it.
Yeah.
First off...
He looks like he's trying. Right there, he looks like he's really trying. And is that Roseanne behind him taking a cell phone photo?
Looks like her.
Really does look like
her. There's no such thing as... whatever you are, president, ex-jock, whoever, actor, whatever you are, when you put something in someone's hands, whether it's a ball of foil and there's a trash can on the other side of the room, or it's a baseball bat and you're throwing a softball to them, whatever it is, you become an animal and you try as hard as you can for that moment.
Yeah.
I was playing a celebrity softball game with Jimmy many years ago for the – I think we were in Chicago, and it was for the All-Star game in Chicago. And I said to him, I was playing left field, and they had like the chick from The Bachelor, like the little blonde chick from The Bachelor, is like pitching. And I said, you know, this game has some ex-jocks in it. One of them's Dave Winfield. Mm-hmm. And Dave Winfield goes 6'5", 6'6", 240. I mean, he's one of the biggest guys. I think he had college basketball.
Fun fact, he was drafted in, I think, basketball and, baseball.
Yeah.
Maybe even football.
Built like Carl Malone. Like, I mean, it's an insane build for a player. And I said to Jimmy before the game, I said, what if this guy like Dave Winfield hits a comebacker to the little blonde bachelor, bachelorette chick on the mound? Like, he literally could kill her with that ball. And Jimmy said, those jocks, they're half swinging it. You know, they're not really swinging it. And I said, I don't think so. I think they're taking cuts at the ball because they're jocks. And you put a bat in their hand, and they got one swing.
Yeah.
And there's not a half-speed swing. They just have a full-speed swing. And he said, nah, those guys would be taking half swings and fucking around. And I said, all right, smash cut to Dave Winfield getting up at bat, me playing left field, and watching a ball go over my head into the night air of Chicago that I didn't even turn around to go after because it was one of those home runs that was like, oh, it's when the outfielder doesn't even take a step backwards, just goes, oh, that thing's going out of the stadium. Like, that's what it
Barry
was.
Barry Bonds, you just sat there with your hands on your knees.
I just sat there. I didn't even look up. I was like, I know they put a fence. It wasn't the fence for the real ball game. The fence was 20 feet behind me, the one they'd moved up, and that ball was 150 feet behind the fence. And I was like, that's my point. There's no half speed once you do that. So when you give the president a basketball and you tell him to take some shots, I'm assuming he's trying to drain everyone.
He's going for it.
I think either the bowling alley that like Nixon put in or something was turned into a hoops court underneath.
There's a half court.
Down below.
Court.
Right.
Now, I think there's still a bowling alley in it, but there's a half court in there.
I am amazed at how much vacationing presidents do when they live, A, in the White House, and B, in just a house with a half court down low and a bunch of guys. They're basically on call to play ball with you. Like, if he wants to get in a pickup game, he wake up someone at 2:30 in the morning. All the Secret Service guys have to go up there. Nobody can foul him. I mean, that's got to be – they have to play in suits with wingtips and talk, you know, talk into their sleeve all the time. I mean, who's going to – who really – like, I want to know the guy because you know he's playing with some Secret Service guys.
I hope those
guys are in great shape. I want to know the guy – who's just fucking rejecting his shit. Like, like Obama breaks one away and just comes up behind it, pins it against the backboard and says, take that shit to someone else's house and like fires it back at him. Like, is there a guy who does that?
I might have a picture of that guy.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
I'd love to meet that guy. we used to shoot there was a guy who worked for us on the Man Show, and we would do these pickup games like at my party house in Sherman Oaks on like Wednesday nights and just be all the man show dude. And there was a guy named Hammersley who was called Ham, and he was one of the writers, wasn't one of the more prolific writers, but he was a writer, and he'd always be on one team and I'd always be on the other team, and he'd hack the shit out of me, and then when I was like, oh, that's a foul, he'd be like, that's such bullshit! Oh, fuck, man! Such pussy! That's tic-tac, pussy, bullshit! And I was like, wow, I'm your boss. I'm your boss. I kind of liked it, though, but he didn't think about it for a second, other than like he was just on a schoolyard with some dudes that he didn't know, in a pickup game or something. He's like, you know what? Dude, go ahead. Let the baby have his bottle. Take your chicken shit. Take it out. Take your chicken shit. Tell you, I hope you roll an ankle with that chicken shit. And it was like, wow.
Did it make you feel at all like, hey, why aren't you respecting me as a boss?
There was a part of me that made me realize that his parents had done great things for him and horrible things for him simultaneously in giving him this thing.
Sense of self, yeah.
A part that sort of went, I liked it, but I don't think this would be a great tactic for all bosses. But and I didn't really think of myself as the boss of everyone on the court, but I own the court and I do run the Man Show with Jimmy, so you're one of the writers. So, but he would hack me and then call me a pussy when I was like on the ground. It was great.
Now, you said that when you put a ball in a guy's hand, he tries. If you're playing with your kids, what do you do?
Oh,
score just all over them.
I'm all elbows.
Humble
I'm
them.
Fucking all elbows.
Show them what the world means.
Mm-hmm. I reject that shit. No, when I shoot, I try to make it. I don't. Every once in a while, there's a little controversy when they shoot at the little basket we have, and it's clearly just going into a flower pot, and I catch it, and they go like, "Dad, that was going in." I'm like, "Please." In your dreams.
You weren't accounting for the ricochet.
That's right. I was going to put it off the side of the terracotta pot. Two. Wait. Obama sunk out of 22. He sunk what?
Two.
Two for 20.
Oh, two for 20. Ooh, oh, boy.
I thought that's what you said, Allison.
All right.
Oh.
I want to know how close together those
that's
two.
That's what I read.
Two of 22.
Sub 10%.
Wow. Obama's got to do better than that. We're going to get this country back.
Do you think they were the first two that he shot? Huh. And then he had to put up just 20 more bricks. And I was like, yeah.
That would have been great. Yeah.
I don't think they were. I think one of them was like the 18th.
All right, guys, I'm going to quit.
In honor of April Fool's Day on Monday, some large companies had some fun at our expense. YouTube claimed they were going to shut down. Google added a Google smell feature. And Twitter did away with their vowels. I don't need companies to make April Fool's jokes.
I don't need
anyone to.
No. There's like, first off, there's certain groups like, I don't know, air traffic controllers, people like that, that I just don't want involved with this at all. Don't want them monkeying around, number one. Number two, I don't really need to know that my cable carrier has a sense of humor or that the people that deliver my parcels have a sense of humor. Like, I don't really need, right. I don't need to know any
just
of that.
Just be the militant overlords I've paid you to be.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. Rule with an iron fist, would you please?
Did anyone pull any April Fool's jokes on you guys?
I did. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I did the talk this morning, and Sharon Osbourne told everybody she had gone to Germany to get some in vitro done with a really nice lady and some Aussie sperm. And she was tearing up when she said it, and all the girls hugged her. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. Because in my heart, I think Sharon Osbourne could say, so I've decided to get dragon's wings attached to my body. And we'd all be like, oh, she probably worked out pretty good.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think she could surprise me.
Was she
totally faking.
Totally faking
100%
it.
April Fool's. And when I told her I believed her, she just looked at me like I was stupid.
There's something between
I would have believed
the
it.
The affect, right? And the accent.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you can't tell people to get the fuck out of here on stuff that could be you know, potentially true or serious or whatever.
She's married to Ozzy Osbourne. I watched a bunch of their show. Like they did some stuff that was not too dissimilar to having someone else provide an egg for their baby.
On the weirdo meter, this would be a 4.5 for her, not a 10. Yeah. She can't fuck around.
Yeah, I feel like a good April Fool's prank is not something where if it's true, well, who really cares anyway?
Right, but Phil Spector can't tell you something. Like, Phil Spector can't do an April Fool's story that's
inexpected. You're saying she's Phil Spector?
I'm saying once you're sort of nuts or eccentric or whatever you are, then you're off the list.
Gary Busey's not going to shock us with any kind of April Fool's concepts.
Is that a real samurai? Come on, Gary. Put that shit down. I know a fake samurai when I see it.
Adam, this is a real samurai. I swear to Jesus.
I always... he's one of those guys, and I got to figure out this guy. He's one of those crazy guys, but he's also one of those dates guys who are like the sober guys. The guys who go like, December 22nd, 1992, I buried my first wife. You know, they do the dates all the time as part of being crazy, but I don't know why.
Like, why does the craziness manifest in really good sense of
no? Dates? It's never slight, happened when someone
slight Asperger's.
Yeah, like no one ever went. I buried my first wife, and I went, oh yeah,
what's
when?
The date?
And it went December 92. Yeah, what day? 22nd. Well, that was a Wednesday. That'd be really weird having a funeral service on a Wednesday, wouldn't you think? Like, if you say you buried your first wife some years back, I'll go along with you on it. I don't need the date.
Mm-mm. I'm the opposite. I don't even know what time of year things happen.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
I'm very hazy on all of that.
Yeah, I do the same thing. People go like,
this is Earth. We're actually,
They go like, when did the man show run? And I'll go like 90 something, like 8 or 9 or something, 99 to like 2000 and something. Like in there somewhere? I don't remember the first. I don't remember that. I realized as I was sitting down the other day, Seth, you could maybe, although you've had way too much success to identify with this, I was going through every pilot basically that I've ever done and realized that I think 0 for 6 or 7, but The Man Show, Loveline, and Top Gear all ended up being TV shows anyway. But every single TV pilot I ever did never got on the air, and then all 6 of them, and then half of them came back and became TV shows, some with me, some without me. I thought...
Did it end up making you feel good or bad?
It was interesting because I thought, well, that's 0 for 6, and then I thought, oh, no, The Man Show, Loveline, and Top Gear have all been real successful, and then I thought, oh, that's half of them then came back, and then I went, huh, I wonder if the other 3... would have had any success if they ever came back. We will never know, by the way.
That's the news. Mm. I'm Allison Rosen. Zip it, cunts.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
Ah, yes. Put some information up on that board, shall we? All right. Let's see. What do we got?
Are you having Brecken on tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who. No. Brecken Meyer.
That's right.
On,
then Can't Hardly Wait together.
Yeah.
I've known Brecken since we're teenagers.
Also, this coming weekend, Stand Up Live, bunch of shows in Phoenix. So come on out, Phoenix, and say hi, would you? Also, me and Drew doing a little reunion tour in Redondo Beach, Performing Arts Center. That's coming up Saturday the 13th. And what else? I think that'll about do it. Seth Green, The Story of Luke, in theaters and video on demand Friday, April 5th, and support the friends of the show, shall we, people? You can go online. You can go to SethGreenOnline.com, find out all the info you need to find. And, of course, Dave Damashek as well. So, till next time, it's Adam Carolla. For Dave Damashek, Seth Green, Allison Rosen, and Bald Brian saying, mahalo.
Ray came up behind her and put his dick in her ear.
All right, let me hit betonline.ag. It's the weekly pick'em contest. NFL and college action on the way, man. We're right in the heat of things. Visit betonline.ag to take advantage of best bonuses in the business. Use promo code podcast1 for a 50% sign-up bonus.
Matchups week four. What do we got? We got Philly at Green Bay. We got Tennessee at Atlanta, Cleveland, Baltimore. I'll tell you my picks in a second. We've got $500 in rewards to give out each week to five listeners and a $5,000 season-long charity contest. Join the conversation on Twitter with hashtag SportsNetChallenge. I'm going to go for my lock of the week, Kansas City Chiefs versus Detroit Lions.
Nice.
And my score is 28-13. So check that out.
Bet your house.
Bet your house. Use promo code podcast1 and receive a 50% sign up bonus today. BetOnline.ag. All right.
And that was Seth Green. If you want to hear that episode or any of the full versions of these episodes, where do they go, Gio?
Podcast One Premium, the home of all your favorite podcasts, the entire 10-plus years of the Adam Carolla Show. Anything we played today, you can find the full entire episode there if you want to hear it. Anything you want to recommend, let us know. We'll go from there, and we'll get a clip of that episode for you, and we'll play on the show.
So easy for you. All right, let's get going with this next clip. This is a listener request. Steven from Orlando, Florida, emailed us, and he writes, "Hey, guys. Really enjoy the show, and while I've been a listener for years, I love laughing all over again. Here's my request that I haven't heard since it aired and remember laughing really, really hard. There was a news article where some assembly event, I think it was graduation, at a school occurred, and they shut the doors on time at the start. There were a number of parents, quote, outraged that they were not able to attend. Adam compared the clientele to, quote, good parents, ranting that this must have been an ongoing problem. Hope it makes it on the show and it's not too tough to find. Thanks, Steven." Well, Gio, was it too tough to find?
It was tough to find, but not too tough. I found it via some other person's tweet. Actually, I think it was the person that tweeted at Adam to inspire him to talk about this. This is from Adam Carolla Show 2338. We've actually played something from this before because this is the follow-up with the Green Machine drink when Vinny comes in the studio and they bust Dawson's balls. So I figured, you know what? Why cut that off? Because it starts right after this. So it is the clip he is requesting plus Green Machine revisited once again for those that missed it because it is delightful.
Let's go.
I was here in the morning. I did two podcasts in the morning, and then I hustled out back home, which always kind of sucks because I don't live that close to where we are. Then we finished, and then I hustled my ass back here to do my third podcast. I turn on the news. I didn't turn on the news. I turned on my computer, and there was a news story that somebody tweeted me, and it was the Bakersfield Unified School District, and the parents were outraged. Mm-hmm. Let's run the clip if we do. They started their event at 6:30 in the evening, which is arguably much more convenient to all the guys who work because all the dads who are sitting in this place were wearing suits and stuff. They all left the office
on their lunch
to
break.
come over and be here at 1:30. But as I walked in to the auditorium at 1:29 and a half, rest assured, I was the last I was the last soul to enter that vessel. But let's see what happened in Bakersfield.
Our newsroom was flooded with phone calls this evening after many parents said they were turned away from Standard Middle School's graduation, locked out because they were a few minutes late.
These are parents and grandparents that are standing outside of North High School who have not been allowed to enter to see their children graduate.
This was the scene at North High where Standard Middle School's graduation was held this evening.
Hold on. Parents a lot of fat parents wearing shorts and T-shirts with gravy on it, number one.
Nega,
number two, hey, bitch.
Brian, please.
Maybe 6:30 means 6:30.
Yeah.
Maybe 1:30 means 1:30. Yeah. Maybe if they stop... They start promptly at 1:30. Maybe we don't want your fat ass waddling into the auditorium while my kid is getting his diploma and you're standing in front of my camcorder because somebody figured out we got a group here that plays fast and loose with the time.
I don't know if the live theater scene in Bakersfield is thriving, but anyone who's ever been to the live theater, they don't let you in after the posted time.
It is. You go to Broadway.
You'll disturb the performance.
Yeah,
you Broadway go to, or Bakersfield.
Broadway
Same
or Bakersfield.
It's our new game.
The Great Sort of White Way.
Pretty white.
You go out. So Bakersfield's kind of a suburb here. It's a little white trashy. It's probably got a little Hispanic trash in it, too.
A little methy.
A little methy, but it's full of folks that didn't
show up on time.
Right.
They weren't on time when they were in high school. And guess who's not on time now that they're in their early 40s and their kids in middle school?
I'm also willing to bet that the graduation announcements or whatever went out specifically said prompt start time. I don't know if it mentioned the doors locked, but it certainly mentioned prompt start
time. Look at the guy with the black t-shirt. He looks like he swallowed Matt Fondelier.
There's not only that.
Vinny with the hot fire.
Yeah. Well, Matt always says he likes a dude who swallows, so he may know this cat. Number one.
Boom.
Number two, again, whether it's a graduation or court date, maybe a black t-shirt that has two pit bulls on it saying bad to the bone is not appropriate attire for your kid's graduation. But let's see what the hubbub was about. All right, play the news story.
17 News, even with tickets in hand, they were turned away.
I mean, first off, I'm obsessed because we're seeing the guys with the tats and the wife beater or the black. Okay.
That is a swath of humanity.
Yeah, sleeveless, some dog paws on the chest.
Right. All right. But let's see what
that guy.
He's got the Alpine Star shirt on and he's telling us. All right. So what's the beef? Let's figure this out, Maxipata.
Maybe
go ahead.
Because they got there after 6:30.
At 6:30, they locked the doors. You could not be 1 minute late, and they locked the doors. I worked till 6. I'm in my work attire. I could not get here fast enough. I was 5 minutes late.
Press pause.
And all right, press
pause. Describe what he's wearing.
Vince Neil's outfit.
He's wearing a goatee with a bandana and a button-up shirt, probably short sleeve with a backpack. Now, here's the deal, 44-year-old parent. You get off work at 6. Maybe you get a little cachet at the workplace where you get to say to the boss, hey, man,
kids graduation.
My daughter's graduating the ninth grade. Do you think you could see fit to me leaving at 5:55 two Wednesdays from now?
Yeah.
Would that be something that'd be all right? Or do I have to get in a 3-point stance and we call Zurich and find out when the clock strikes 6 a.m.? So at 6 p.m. So number one, I bet you could have pulled this off. Poncho. Number two, I bet you don't live or work 34 minutes from the school. I bet you work 9 minutes from the school or 21 school. Minutes or whatever. I bet you could have gotten there. But he's pissed. And hey, now, here's the overarching problem. Whose fault is it? The school. Just like it's American Airlines' fault when they say the plane pushes off at 10 a.m. and we board at 9:30 and you get there at 10:01. Who's when you go to the ArcLight movie theater
and the movie starts? You're like, hey, what gives? What gives?
Movie starts.
I was only a couple minutes late
at 8 p.m. and you show up at 8:08 and they don't let you in. Whose fault is this?
All of those examples. That is a societal situation where you are holding. If that was the case, waited for every last person. You're holding up things for everyone else.
The school has figured out who their clientele is, and they get that they're not prompt, and they get that if they don't lock the door at that time, then people are going to be walking in and talking, and cell phones are going to be ringing, and they're going to be doing this, and it's going to be wildly disrespectful to the kids. But to the parents who showed up on time, who don't want to see you in front of them when you're coming in.
And there are dozens and dozens and dozens of people who didn't get in. So this wasn't
like
just
100.
One or two parents. Yeah. I mean, there's got to be close to 100 people that didn't make it on time.
Right, who live in Bakersfield. Right. Now, would you like to know how many people live in La Cañada didn't make it in under the 1:30 taller order, by the way, 1:30 than 6:30, because that's right in the middle of the day, and people have jobs. Mm-hmm. But let's let this eloquent gent continue to
blame the school.
Well, remember, always externalize. This is what's going to get him on time to the high school graduation, right? By blaming the school?
No.
Externalization. Stop it, everybody. I love it when the answer's in the question. Yeah, they said it started at 6:30. I was there at like 6:35. What the fuck? Okay, let him finish.
I was locked out. We were all locked out.
I'm disappointed in our district that they would even do this. Why would they even do this? Why would they do this to all these parents sitting out here and all those kids?
Hold on. They didn't do it. They didn't do anything to anybody. They told you what time the fucking graduation started, and you couldn't get there before that time. They didn't tell you they were going to lock you out. You want to know why? They don't have to tell you. No. Just like you can leave your fucking wallet on your dashboard and go inside your apartment building and go to bed. They won't tell you it's going to get stolen. Maybe it doesn't get stolen. Right. It might get stolen. Yeah. That's a decision that you make.
Right.
You may show up at 6:35 and you may get in.
Maybe you won't.
Or you may not.
Yeah.
That is the... Those are the dice you roll when you show
Absolutely.
Up late.
Yeah, and they clearly compromised and said there was no dress code.
Yeah, look at the guy. Look at the T-shirt of the guy.
Whoa.
Look at that T-shirt.
Whoa.
The guy behind him is wearing a crazy beanie. And
it says, can't stop the crooks.
He looks like he is going to cleave somebody.
All right, let's see what the rest of pissed off mom has to say.
To us, they're doing it to our children.
Hold on.
Parents say there is nothing.
Stop. They're not doing it to your children. You are doing it to your children. And worse, you are raising them in an environment. Oh, I know what the piece of shit. And by the way, I know you drive a piece of shit. I know what the piece of shit conversation is going to be when you're driving home in your diesel Vega from 1984. Fuck the school system. Fuck those guys.
They can't treat us that way.
Yeah, they can't treat us that way. Thus indoctrinating. Yeah. Another young woodland creature into the externalization world. The conversation on the ride home should be one conversation and one conversation only. Sorry I was late. It won't happen again. I've disappointed you, and it's an action that I need to correct.
I've learned my lesson.
I've learned my lesson. Yeah. And yes, it was a little bit stern that they locked the door right at that, but I could have avoided that by showing up before
it's
a lot of
from
time.
Last problems from years ago, right? I mean, it I'm
obviously
sure.
They know their clientele. They know these assholes come. Well, first off, there is a platoon. I mean, that's more crowded than a Trump rally in a red state. There's literally 150 people wandering around. So they know that 67% of their clientele is going to show up late, and that's why they did it. Is there more, Max Zapata?
That's Richard. They just end up closing the club.
I want to know what they go back to, because I want to go to the newsroom, because here's the problem. That's why I yell at Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew's like, what's going on? I go, you're the problem, because you go back to the fucking newsroom, and they shouldn't be going, boy.
Tough break.
Yeah, somebody's got to talk to that principal. No, it's like, hey, assholes, you showed up late. This is what happened. By the way, this is called the 6 o'clock news. What's it called? The 6:05-ish, about-ish news. Like, guess which one of our anchors gets shit-canned if we start rolling in at 6:03?
Yeah.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's play it again, sorry.
Parents say there is nothing in print indicating the doors would close abruptly at 6:30. We were unable
Hold on.
To reach the
There's
standard.
There's something in print that says it starts at 6:30.
They worded that weird.
That's the print part. Yeah, the print part is, hey, this is when we start, not the doors will be welded shut.
Chris is right. They verbally danced around. They were notified for
Keep
sure.
going, news enablers. Oh, you know how they have like Action News 12? This is Enabling News 12. We enable. Go ahead.
School district superintendent for comment.
Did she have anything else to say? She gets cut off there.
Yeah, that was the end of the clip.
All right, we'll see if we can find a little more of her. I don't know if it exists. Look, this is what I'm saying. All right, don't lower the bar. Mm-hmm. You assholes showed up late and you didn't get in.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that the school district is not having a zero tolerance policy, hey, that's a little tight. Like, if you showed up at 6:31 and there was a guy standing by the door and you were knocking on it going, I got a flat tire, could you let me in? It'd be a little bit harsh for them not to let you in. But you are giving them the opportunity to do this. If you would like to remove this possibility, then don't show up late. Mm-hmm. You knew it in advance. It was perfectly reasonable. I'm sure the reason they had it at 6:30 is because they figure people work
and
they get off work at 5 or 5:30 or plan it in advance. We have to tell your boss, I got to leave half hour early on whatever, kid, and don't roll the dice. You're calling the local lethargic enabling news with enabling news copter 13 in the sky, and you're complaining to them, and you're complaining to the school board. And this notion that you have a gear where you're complaining to the school board is fucking flawed. Thus, by the way, This is why you're working a shitty job at 44, and this is why your kids are going to work shitty jobs at 44. Please internalize, everybody.
And
thank you.
Those same parents are going to go home and yell about this all the evening, allowing the kids to think that this is right and this is okay. And
right.
It's not okay.
I was going to say,
there's
so many of them.
Very
it's
sad.
Not
very,
okay.
Very sad and cynical prediction. The school or school district will buckle. They'll issue an apology, and they may even have a makeup ceremony.
Yeah, redo it.
Yeah, something. There's going to be something where they're going to either make it up or apologize or issue a retraction or whatever it is, and no lessons will be learned. In fact, the wrong lesson will be learned.
All we do now is try to figure out, we have a bunch of fuck-ups, let's build a society around them. Let's conform. This notion of, hey, too many young teenage boys of color are being expelled. What shall we do about this? Stop expelling them.
Right.
Like, no, that's not it. Yeah. Let's try to figure out what the behavior is that's causing the expulsion and see if we can get to it.
You're addressing the end result of this equation.
Our whole new world is re-engineer our rules and societies around people who ironically need more structure. These people need to be locked out.
Right.
The people in my school district don't need to be locked out. They got that message a long time ago. Ironically, they're not getting locked out. But if they were, they wouldn't need that lesson. Nobody needs this lesson more than these people. And yes, the school system is going to reconfigure their schedule so it works. All right, Vinny Tortorich is here.
And boss, may I just say, if you're not 10 minutes early, you're late. That's what I was raised on.
Yeah, I like it. And I will say this. Thank you. I don't believe in rigidity. I think Vinny Tortorich will tell you it's fine to have a cheat day and it's fine to have a beer on an airplane on occasion. Let's don't make a habit out of it. Doesn't mean you can't have a piece of dessert on occasion. I don't want to live that kind of life. I have a podcast that I had to do yesterday that started at 10-ish in the morning. And we had a couple of spots. I knew it was going to be about a 45-minute podcast. And I knew I could be there 10:05, 10:06. Later on that same day, I had a hard in at 1:30 because I did not want to get locked out of my kids' school thing. So you can decide the difference between the flight that's leaving where you're never going to get out of town and let's play it safe. And then a meeting, and now it's still courteous, but I have meetings at the other shop with like Mike August and Nate or whatever. I say 1 o'clock, but I know Mike August and Nate are going to talk some business before I show up at 1:09 or something. I'm not struggling. It's my shop. They can talk business versus me and Mike August flying out of Detroit on a 7 a.m. flight. Like, you get to modulate and decide.
Awareness.
Yeah. What's doing? You go to the Arclight Theater, you get locked out. You go to AMC Theater, you miss the previews if you're going to be late. So you get to decide.
Yeah, and I've sort of learned this as an adult because I did not grow up this way. I was scatterbrained and didn't know what the hell was going on. But with me, it's like, you know, say we have somewhere to be and, you know, the person always shows up late and whatever. That's not on me. My job is to be there when I said I was going to be there. That's keeping my ledger clean. That's keeping my slate clean. So I'm not really worried about the other person. I want to be on record as being the person that's on time.
It's quietly and boring. It's the equivalent, since Tortorich is here, is if you said, I could do one exercise and one exercise only and keep me and look good with my shirt off at the beach. What are we doing? Vinny, just go do 150 push-ups a day. And what being on time is to your life. Like that, it sounds boring. It takes a discipline. It will change your life.
Not fun.
But go ahead and do it.
It's a habit. Being on time is a habit, like brushing your teeth or wiping your ass. You don't have to do it, but if you do, life is going to be so much better.
And always use a different brush. I've learned that the hard way.
Wait a minute,
oral
what?
Fecal route. Talk to Dr. Drew about it, but use a separate brush with the toothbrush and the ass brush. I agree with Vinny Tortorich 100%.
On your feet, clean your seat.
All right, speaking of that. I saw Dawson in here making a burrito about 10:30 in the morning the other day, and I had questions.
It was Saturday. It wasn't even a work day.
It was multiple.
You had burrito questions.
I had burrito questions, then I had buying bulk burrito questions, and then I had general dietary needs questions. And I've traveled around with Dawson. I've seen him order pina coladas in the middle of the night in Amsterdam and stuff like that. I don't see his weight fluctuate, so I'm always sort of curious
in Amsterdam,
how that
pina
worked.
Colada?
It's a whole nother show.
You didn't know?
Don't stop down on that. We'll never get through this.
I've been to Amsterdam. You love smoking pot. What were you doing with the pina colada?
Another story for another day.
You have to be pretty damn high.
All right. So I then got into the routine. He said he drinks a big thing, a green machine, in the morning and at night. Now, whenever I hear green drink, a little alarm goes off in my head, which is... I don't know. There are a couple that are just, it's pressed parsley and kale and spinach, right, and that's it. But that's not, Dawson would not enjoy that at all.
No, that tastes like crap.
Right. So we got into the green machine from the Naked Juice, and the, you know, front and center is a picture of some broccoli on
in
there.
The foreground, which is a bit misleading.
A little bit misleading.
Surrounded by three fruits.
So then I said to Dawson, why with the green machine? And he said, that's how I get my vegetable. I get a nice vegetable dose in there, no sugar added, blah, blah, blah. And I said, how's it taste? And he said, tastes like pineapple. And I said, well, how does the broccoli taste like pineapple? And he said, well, must have some pineapple juice in there. Right. And I said, yeah, that's, but that's what
the
you don't,
sweetest
you,
of all
you don't want
fruits.
To drink that. And he said, it's natural sugar. Vinny, can you please, and I want you to be your own worst critic here.
Okay.
Natural sugar versus that which would be in the pineapple juice and the green machine versus just plain old white sugar in a sack, you know, per gram. Are you going to tell me it's exactly the same, or can you go, well, it's a little, and I don't want the part where you go, well, there's some fiber in that. I just mean sugar to sugar, white on white crime.
They're all exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
Identical. Sugar comes from fruit. You know, white sugar, most of it comes from sugar cane or beets. You can extract sugar from a pineapple. It's the same sugar. The molecular structure is identical. The only one that's a little higher, and people confuse fructose, which comes from fruit, which is all sugar, with high fructose corn syrup. That's the only one that's slightly worse because it's not even a whole molecule. It's a piece of an atom added onto a molecule that could make that one a little worse, but they're all equally bad.
If I took a glass and one glass has had 8 ounces of water and, you know, 20 grams of sugar in it stirred up, and that was it, just from a sugar bowl in it, and the other was pineapple juice removed of all other nutrients.
Right.
It would be exactly the same.
Identical.
Okay. All right. That's the jumping off point. I think a lot of people, including our own Mike Dawson, think natural sugar is better than...
I think most people think natural sugar is better than fructose.
Right, but you see...
No, I'm not saying...
But fructose is sugar.
Dawson, first off, I said most people, so you don't have to emphasize most people.
Sorry.
I think most...
I was just making fun of the way Vinny said fructose, which none of you picked up on.
We did. We just let it go.
A room full of fructose.
He's born on a swamp.
He's from the bayou.
You ever see that movie, The Water Boy? That was Vinny.
That's not far from the truth.
That's a documentary.
All right, so most people think natural is better. They don't really realize it's all just sugar. Okay, now let's break down the green machine, Vinny.
Right.
The green machine has what in it? Well, you can take a look at the thing.
Well, if you're asking me, it says apple number one, so that's apple juice. That's pure sugar. It's got apple juice by itself is worse than a Coca-Cola. Just by itself, and that's the first ingredient.
Really?
Yeah.
Just because it has more sugar?
More sugar than a Coca-Cola.
And that's what we force-feed kids at lunch,
right,
at preschool.
You see, when President Clinton, the Clinton that got in, took all the sodas out of school, they didn't remove the soda machines. They just filled them with juice. So it was just a lateral move. Actually, it was a worse move because now kids thought they were getting something healthy, but they weren't. Right. And then you're looking at ingredient number two, mango puree. Okay.
Did he do the puree and I do the puree?
You said puree.
I've been saying puree. I've been saying puree. Right. Okay. Sorry.
I'm from Louisiana. Puree is the
way. That's the way I say it.
Like
right?
An etouffee. Yes.
It's the two E's that screw me up.
If you look at it, the second and third ingredient is mango, and then you have pineapple juice, and then banana puree again. The problem with those are they took all of the tropical fruit, which are the ones highest in sugar. They have more sugar and put them all at the top. And then you get to, you know, kiwi and this sort of thing, spirulina, which is BS. You don't even get to broccoli until after alfalfa, which is almost impossible to do.
Well, Dawson's hanging his hat on getting a dose of broccoli out of this drink.
You would probably have to have, I don't want to exaggerate, I'm going to say 100. 100
Somebody tweeted, what was the tweet number? I didn't even see the tweet.
It's got to be a high. I could be off, but it's got to be a bunch to even get one sprig of broccoli.
353, to be precise.
Okay. To this You'd tweet. Have to drink 353 green machines to get one serving of broccoli. That's half cup of raw broccoli.
Yes, a serving of broccoli. So I was talking one
353
sprig,
so. Of these to get a half cup of broccoli. Now, Dawson, what was your reply on that?
I said I did my own math and zero people care.
That's good. That's right. Good.
But
that's why I love you, brother.
But Dawson, if your mission statement when we initially brought this up was to consume some broccoli.
That is what I had been doing for a very long, long time. I actually thought the grain machine was a substitute.
Right.
So I went to the grain machine.
Right.
But now that we know there's no broccoli in it, it seems like you're hurting your own mission statement.
Kaylin, throw up the picture of my breakfast this morning. Broccoli is now the number one ingredient
in the blender.
Green machine.
So
it's a broccoli flutter.
You are doing broccoli in the blender now with pineapple.
That's a big fist full of broccoli.
Nice.
Good.
In the green machine.
There you go. There you go. Now, there's another hurdle to get over, which is the protein, the chocolate protein drink, which is the premier protein. So you know it's good.
Well, it's Premier.
Now, here's what I've learned from Vinny Tortorich, actually in a weird way, first my mom, which is sort of if it tastes good or it says protein on it or it says like I used to love, you know what the best tasting drink in the world were those protein smoothies that came in the clear container.
Oh, of course.
They're great. It's like you're chugging it down going, God, this is good. I can't believe this is so good, you know. And it's like, oh, no, it can't be. It just can't be. So breakfast bars, unless they're just made out of pure gazelle meat, are just bad. And then there is the liquid protein drinks. Now, what is in this one? Now, Dawson says no sugar in this one.
No.
And it doesn't.
I think there's a gram of sugar, though.
Well, all right. I'm gonna give you a little wiggle room and say no sugar, 1 gram of sugar, not an issue.
Yeah, this is one container. One serving is one whole container. So it's basically no sugar and 5 grams of carbs.
Yeah,
and 30 grams of protein.
You see the word halfway down that says like something like fructose ride or whatever? That's the sugar. They hide sugar in other places. Right there. What's that word, Chris? I can't even see it.
Well, how does it – let me ask you this. Can I ask you this, Vinny Tortorich?
Yeah.
Vinny Tortorich. When something says no sugar or 1 gram of sugar and then it says 160 calories for an 8-ounce container,
right?
Is that a red flag to you? Like where are we getting these calories on a no sugar product?
The calories are basically coming from the sugar, and this product is also coming from –
but this
from-
says 1 gram of sugar.
Right. The government allows, and this makes me sound like a nut conspiracy theorist, but this is what the movie's going to be about.
Fat, a documentary, contribute to the film at Indiegogo. By the way, they're 94% of the way to their goal, thanks to people like you. 5 days left. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you.
Let me hit Manscaped here. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from Manscaped. The number one for men's below-the-belt grooming, precision-engineered tools for the family jewels. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. Nothing worse than catching an edge down in the nether regions, man. That can be rough. Manscaped redesigned their electric trimmer. Their lawnmower 2.0 has a proprietary skin-safe technology. Won't nick or snag the nuts, and there's nothing more sensitive than that. Don't use the same trimmer you use on your face. That's bad, man. Let's not do that. You don't want to go, or at least go in the correct order. That's what you want. You want to start at the top and make your way down.
Yeah.
Now get yourself something that's made for that region and get 20% off plus free shipping with the code Adam at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping. Manscaped.com with the code Adam. Your balls will thank you.
All right, that was the Adam Carolla Show.
back in May of last year. Thanks to Steven for requesting that. And if you, I'm talking to you, the person listening to the show right now, if you want to request a clip, you have a favorite moment of the Adam Carolla Show, let us know it, all right? And you can email us, classics@adamcarolla.com, tweet us at Giovanni Giorgio, at Chris Loxamana, hit us up on Instagram, Facebook, whatever. Find us and let us know what you want to hear in Carolla Classics. And we'll play it for you. Because we want to hear it too.
We'll play it.
That's right. All right. This next clip. Oh, man. You know, Gio, this is one of the very first Adam Carolla shows I've ever heard.
Really?
Back when I was asked to come in, it was around April of 2010. I didn't really know what a podcast was. And I barely knew who Adam was. I remembered him from The Man Show, Loveline, etc. But I never really got into talk radio. So I thought, okay, I'll come
by. You really deserve this job.
I really didn't. I still don't.
You earned it with your fan stripes.
But I remember, okay, I should check out what the Adam Carolla Show is. So I remember finding the Adam Carolla Show. But at this moment, Adam was off shooting a pilot. And he had other people guest host from, like, Kevin Nealon. And in this case, Aisha Tyler. So I never really heard Adam on the very first Adam Carolla Show I've ever listened to.
This guy's got a good thing running. He calls it his show, and he says other people come and host it, and he gets all the money.
And speaking of that, Adam's in Napa right now. Brian and Gene are hosting on Monday.
Oh, well, that'll be fun. Those are all great episodes.
Those are
Adam Carolla Show 279, and it turns out, you know, some of these guest hosted episodes are sometimes considered to be disasters, and then on retrospect, when you go back to them, like Brody Stevens, it's actually like a lost gem. In this case, this is probably the legit good guest hosted episode from this first batch.
Yeah,
it was always kind of a pain in the butt because former producers would book these guests that would never appear in studio with Adam. So it was like, oh, you could get this killer lineup, but maybe they're not good hosting some other guy's show that maybe they haven't heard before, or they have never guested on, so they don't even know how it goes.
Right.
And then when Adam comes back, he wouldn't have even never guessed these people. If you're a fan of Archer, this is Aisha Tyler, Chris Parnell, and Adam Reed, also of C-Lab 2021, if you're a fan of that. I'm a huge C-Lab fan. I've never really gotten to Archer, but people who are fans are going to love this. She calls up Adam Reed, and they talk to him for a really long time. I took a huge chunk of it out. And I figure Adam's probably never heard this, and most of the audience has probably never heard this. And it's one of the good ones. Aisha Tyler, 279, March 2010.
I will tell you this, Gio. I have heard it, and it is fantastic. I had a blast listening to this episode.
I hope everybody enjoys as much as you did.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Adam Carolla Podcast. I know that I sound strange to you. You may wonder, hey, did Adam Carolla magically morph into a giant black woman with an oddly Caucasian-sounding voice? No, I'm Aisha Tyler, and I'm sitting in for Adam Carolla while he's away being big and fancy and making a big old embassy pilot. So Adam's going to be back March 16th, and in the meanwhile, you will have to satisfy yourselves by fantasizing about me when you touch yourself instead of about Adam, like you normally do. Welcome to the show. In honor of the awesomest animated show ever made in the history of the world, and I'll cut you, Simpson fans, we are going to have an all-Archer show today. It's very, very exciting. I am here with the creator of the show. You may know his other creations, C-Lab 2021 and Frisky Dingo. I'm sure there are other creations he's got sitting around the house moldering. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Reed is on the line from Atlanta. Say hi.
Hi.
Hey. And also, very exciting, in the studio with me right now, of SNL infamy. I would say fame, but I like infamy better. It makes me sound smarter, right?
Yeah.
And millions of other things, which we'll talk about on the show today. Chris Parnell is here.
Hello.
And Archer infamy. I think that's what we're infamous for now, right?
Indeed.
So I'm gonna do my best not to fuck this up. That's my goal for the next hour, is not to take a dump.
Good
and it's already off to a crappy start. Whee! So I'm not really, normally I'm on the other side of an interview, so I have some ridiculous interviews, questions here that you've been asked before, probably. And, you know, feel free to tell me, I don't want to answer that question, Tyler. That was lame. You're a hack. To which I will say, I'm going to come and kill you in your sleep. Let's start with Adam, first of all. Adam, tell me something, because I've known you low these many months, and I feel like I know you personally, but I don't think I know exactly how you got into animation, because you come out of a regular, real people background where you had to look people in the face and talk to them like a human and stuff, right?
Kind of. I was an English major in college. And I went to live in France, worked as, you know, a bartender, a handyman,
all sorts of shady things. And eventually when I came back to the States, I had no job or prospects, but my sister was working at Turner, and she got me a job as a PA, and then they needed somebody to write a Flintstones home video. And because my very first job in television was, I was working for the marketing guy who put deals together for home video and whomever. So he plunked two big boxes on my little cubicle desk and said, "I need you to watch every frame of these VHS tapes." And it was every episode of the Flintstones.
But he didn't. But so the idea that you were an assistant and the Flintstone property had been so degraded inside the Turner stable, they were like, "Let's get the PA to do it."
Yeah. Well, they were gonna. So I said, "You know, what am I watching for?" And he said, "Find me an episode with no dinosaurs in it." And I was like, "Well, I can tell you right now, they've all got dinosaurs in it."
He's
driving a dinosaur for work.
Then he eats one for dinner. So
it was. They were doing a deal with a national snack cake corporation who is or was owned by a church that didn't necessarily believe in dinosaurs.
Oh, that otherwise known as the Christian Snack Cake Anti-Dinosaur Coalition.
Christ cakes.
Oh, we're going to be rich.
So since I had seen all, it was 80 hours. There were 161 episodes of the Flintstones. So for two solid weeks, 9 to 5, I watched the Flintstones.
I don't want to denigrate Flintstones fans. That sounds like a soul deadening period of your life to me.
There were highs and lows over those 2 weeks. There's some sublime stuff going on in there, but you really have to
dig for
love
it.
Love them. And then Gazoo shows up, and it's like,
oh God,
you blew it.
Really,
you blew it, Flintstones.
Jumping shark before the term had been invented. Jumping the kazoo.
Yeah. So then I got a job at Cartoon Network doing commercials, and then Matt Thompson and I got drunk one night and kind
of
created
out of character
and
for you.
That ended up on Adult Swim. And that brings us directly to this phone call.
From there to here.
Nothing else happened.
I'm like a wormhole.
Flintstones, got drunk one night. I'm on the phone with y'all.
Bam, that's my whole life. So really quickly, how did that whole C-Lab 2021 thing happen? Because I always talk about it in interviews that, like, I knew the show. I was on Talk Soup, and I was, like, just in love with that show. And part of the genius of C-Lab 2021, if you haven't seen it, people out there in magical podcast land, is that it's insanely... I don't think I'm putting too fine a point on it when I say crappy. And I don't mean crappy like not funny. I just mean crappy like you took an old cartoon and you put new dialogue on the top. And it's rugged. You know what I mean? It's rugged comedy. It wasn't shiny.
It was not shiny. I think crappy is the antonym of shiny. So I think crappy was the mot juste right there.
So you guys got drunk. And then did you go and... How did you pitch this show to Adult Swim?
We were living in New York, working for a major pay television network, and doing very well, I might add. And Matt Thompson again was on a location shoot in Vancouver with our client, and he crashed a snowmobile and broke both of her legs.
Wow, rock star!
And we got fired.
Fired, bam!
So we had plenty of time and no money, so we cut a C-Lab pilot together, and sent it in over the transom to Cartoon Network, and it just happened to coincide with their search for content for Adult Swim.
Awesome. That's awesome. I love Hollywood stories like that, you know, instead of the ones where, like, I sweated and toiled, there was a drug mule, sold my body. Never sold my script, though.
Total fluke. We worked on it for, like, 2 days, sent it to them.
That's awesome, right? And then they bought it, and then you did how many episodes?
52.
Wow. Was that all of the C-Lab 2021 episodes and like that existed in the world?
Oh, no. I think there were only 13.
So you just repurposed the same 13 episodes and turned it into 52?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, magic maker you.
Yeah.
You're a magic man. So I'm going to ask you both the same question, but I'm going to ask Chris first. This is like a really hacky question, and I apologize, but people ask me all the time. So were you a funny kid? Like, when you were a kid, did you think, okay, this is what I'm going to do when I grow up? because you have a subtle demeanor, Mr. Parnell.
I was a bit of a class clown. I mean, I liked to draw attention to myself and try to make kids laugh. I don't honestly know that I was very good at it, mm-hmm. but it wasn't until I got the idea that I wanted to do a play at the school I was going to at the time. The Southern Baptist Educational Center, SBEC.
Oh, big on...
Founder of Christ Kicks.
There you go. And big on theater. Christian theater?
It was slightly Christian theater.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I did a couple of plays there and then thankfully moved schools and went to this great school called Germantown High School and with this amazing drama teacher, Mr. Bluestein.
Aww.
And, started... You know, that's where I found my niche. That's like, oh, this is where all that energy should have been directed a kid. So,
I mean, one thing that we all share, the three. I mean, I didn't. I think that my comedy was a defense mechanism. I was like a very weird kid and kind of used it to get make friends or at least keep people from kicking my teeth out.
Right.
But I feel like there's this renaissance of kind of nerd cool now. Like it's, you know what I mean? You know, comedians in the 70s used to be leather suits and, the hookers and blow. There's still the hookers and blow, but the leather is gone. And, and I just feel like nowadays it's just much cooler to kind of be, yourself and be a little odd.
Yeah.
And, but when you wanted to be an actor, you didn't know that you wanted to be a comedian.
Right, right. Yeah, I was doing plays in school. And we did do a comedy, this play Greater Tuna. A buddy mm-hmm. of mine played like 10 different roles each, and that went very well. And that was like my first sort of official, attempt at comedy. But I went to drama school and just, to be an actor. Mm-hmm. And then it, sort of there, it was like, well, you're kind of better at comedy,
right.
Maybe. So
right.
Can I ask Chris a question?
Yes, you can. Take over, man.
I wanted to know if you had done a lot of drama or if you liked doing it. Or if it was like a chore and all right, I'll do Lear, but only if we do this comedy thing next.
Oh, no. I really enjoyed doing Shakespeare at school, and especially the tragedies. I actually prefer to do it's the typical comic actor thing. I like to do the serious dramatic stuff. But, I don't honestly know that I've got the chops to do it, like seriously,
but the voice is like mad gravitas, right? Like when Chris talks, you're like, maybe he's going to give me financial advice. You know what I mean? Maybe a joke will come out. Maybe he'll tell me something about myself I don't know. That's how I feel when I hear the voice. The voice is Shakespearean.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you did some crazy. You did theater. You actually did.
I did.
You did some serious theater. I have the name of Berkshire Theater. I don't even know what the Berkshire Theater in Stockport. It could be a strip club. I wouldn't know. It sounds important.
It is. It's a Berkshire Theater Festival in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. It's a pretty well respected and renowned. It's been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I was a part of their non-equity company,
mm-hmm.
But we did some really good stuff. But they have big stars coming to do the
Mage
thing,
something like that.
Yeah, it's not quite like that. Awesome.
That's actually here in LA right now. When I drove by it, and I'm alternately intrigued and confused by the whole thing. I don't know that I could. Those things are meant to be looked at for a minute, and then, you move on.
That's how I
feel. And were you a funny kid, Adam? Did you feel like when you were young, you were like, I'm going to grow up and make funny things?
No. I watched a ton of TV as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I went outside some. I have very clear memories of being outside. But I watched a lot of TV, but I didn't know that I would ever do it. I had no plan whatsoever. I was going to be a teacher for a while.
Mm-hmm. And you taught too, Chris. Didn't you teach for a little while?
I did. I taught high school for 1 year.
Bang it.
How was it?
I really didn't care for it.
What did you teach?
I taught Introduction to Theater and Introduction to Film and Video, which were both classes that I had taken, and it was at my old school, Germantown High School.
How old were you?
I was like 24.
Did you just ride in there like, oh, you, all those people that were like all hot and mean to me, just suck it right now. Mr. Parnell's back, kicking it in the adult lounge.
I wish I had had that confidence.
I was such a nerd. That's my constant inner monologue is telling various mean people from high school to suck it. Like every day, I get like a Jamba Juice. I'm like, I bet you can't afford a Jamba Juice. Suck it. It's an ongoing.
I'm just going to pour this one out.
Right. And on the ground.
Because I can afford that.
And get in my 2-year-old hybrid car because I'm famous.
Chris, were the students just jerks and immature and
yeah.
Well, you know what it was? It was in any given class, I think I had four classes, you know, there would be a little percentage of kids who were, you know, really good students, really attentive. There would be a middle group who were sort of could go either way. And then there was a small group of cut-up jackasses.
Pure evil.
Yeah, pure evil.
Sweat hog.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
If only they were as adorable as the sweat hogs.
Oh, yeah. But so that was really hard. But, like, once the bell rang, once the official teaching was over and we were doing the extracurricular with the TV studio and the playhouse, I love that, and I love working with those kids.
Because those kids would stay. The kids that were motivated would stay.
Yeah, those were the kids who cared about what they were doing and were, that was fantastic. Mm-hmm. But the actual teaching was tough. Because I wasn't ready to be an authority figure. I wasn't ready to be Mr. Parnell and be a disciplinarian and all this. So I was...
It's funny also, like, I mean, I'm considerably older than 24. I'm 26. And as far as you know. And I don't feel like I could be a disciplinarian now. Like, I feel like there's maybe even a personality that is prepared to speak to other people in, like, a bossy and demeaning way. Like, I don't know what, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't even have the tools. I'm like, yeah, we can play Xbox. I love Xbox. Like, that's as far as I would get, you know? Right. Some people...
I can't do it constructively ever. Like, you know, at work, if
you like
somebody
boss
needs
around.
A gentle nudge, it's like, you know, it's, I either go, oh, that's fine, and then I'll just be in a passive-aggressive funk. Or I'll go, hey, I'm going to fire you. Did you ever put your coat there again? So I don't have a middle ground.
I think of you as being so lovely, funny, and benign, but apparently you were like just a hellion, like, because we had such a compressed schedule to finish the show, and I think, oh, Adam, he's so funny, we drink together, and Adam's like, I was a madman, right? You were just like marching around like a tiny furious Patton. Well, not tiny physically, just tinier than the other Patton, who's more famous than you. it's a hole, and here I am.
I am over 2 inches taller than George S. Patton.
Well, look at that.
So,
Pocket Patton. I think the confusion is I wear similar clothes
to George Patton. Yes.
Yeah.
And if by that you mean untucked shirt from the Gap, then sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so... I'm going to go to Chris, and then I'm going to come back to you, Adam. So, you did the theater, and then you moved to LA, and you did the Groundlings, and this all seems like it was kind of accidental, in the sense that you loved performing, and you were kind of just doing what you loved, and then these things happened. You didn't have, because I wasn't that person either. I didn't grow up with, like, the Red Fox, like, album, you know, Gripped and Sweaty. Right. You know what I mean? It was just like, I was like, I think I'll try stand-up, and then I was like, oh, do people understand how awesome this is? But I had no, you know, in the moment, I had no idea.
Right.
So some people came to see the Groundlings, saw you, and then you were, like, essentially on SNL.
Yeah, I mean, the Groundlings was sort of the start of everything for me. I mean, I was able to get a manager and an agent, and I started to get little guest star roles in sitcoms. And, I mean, the Groundlings were fantastic. And then somebody, one of the talent scouts from SNL, came and saw me, unbeknownst to me, and got what little tape I had from my agent, all unbeknownst to me. And then I found out one day they wanted to fly me out.
That's
to
so awesome.
Yeah.
That's you know, this restores my faith in Hollywood that, you know, they just came and saw you kind of magically. You weren't gunning for it. And then Adam Reed made a crappy tape in his kitchen drunk. And, you know, this is what...
But it took a while.
But you worked hard. Because it's not like saying you were an overnight sensation. You know what I mean?
It took a while to get to the point in the Groundlings where people could actually come see me.
Right,
you know?
Right. And how long were you doing it before?
I did the classes for maybe 2.5 years, and then it was in the Sunday show for maybe a year and a half, and in the main company for maybe a year, year and a half.
Which one great thing about the Groundlings is they really develop people's... I mean, it's a process of developing talent there. And also seeing who's serious, right? Because people kind of tend to wash out a little bit. You know,
Yeah. There's a, you know, cut at every class level,
right,
you know. So
right.
It's like the comedy Navy SEAL.
I was thinking that. It's like that documentary. I just watched that documentary, 2 Weeks in Hell. I just watch that whenever I feel badly about having to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean? I'm like, that guy threw up and then had to put it in his pocket. I'm complaining because I've got to drink coffee before the sun comes up. Okay, so, I wanted to say before we moved on that both of you guys, you may or may not know this. I don't know if you guys ever speak in the booth. Do you talk to each other?
We do
when
a little
in the
bit,
booth?
But usually it's pretty quick. So
yes,
we don't have a lot of time.
Not me. I gabble like an idiot, as you can tell. Adam knows my whole life story. You're both from the South,
yes.
Right? You're from Memphis, is that right?
Uh-huh.
And Adam, you're from
Asheville, North Carolina.
Boot heel, Asheville, North Carolina. Do you feel like being Southerners affects your sense of humor or the way you look at comedy? I mean, I just think culturally, there's different perspectives. You move into the world and then you're kind of, you know, a citizen of the world with your pinky out when you drink. But do you feel like that gave you a specific kind of take on comedy or a specific approach to thinking about what's fun? I mean, Southerners are hilarious, you know, Jim Crow, all that stuff, so fun.
I'll let Adam go first.
What do you think, Adam?
I personally don't, because so much of my formative years spent watching all that television. You know, that was MASH and, you know, All in the Family. And I think, if anything, there's probably more of a New York sensibility. Mm-hmm. Because that was always there. Although I will say that I think the Andy Griffith Show is the best sitcom of all time.
Even if you're lying,
it's a fantastic show. It's lumped in with sort of those rural comedies from the 60s, like Beverly Hillbillies, right, and Gomer Pyle, but it was really, really, really well done.
It was almost a precursor to MASH, in the sense that it had this kind of balance between comedy and kind of... So there was some authenticity to it. Do you know what I mean? Like the kind of real relationships and lessons.
They were brilliant. Lessons. I mean, Don Knotts and Andy Griffith, I mean, they were fantastic.
And Don Knotts won 5 Emmys in a row.
Wow.
Wow.
He was on there for 5 seasons.
You know so much more stuff than I do.
Just about the Andy Griffith Show.
Okay, so let's see, as I look at my notes, because this isn't what I do for a living on a regular basis.
Are they on your hand?
Right next to my dealer's number. I was going to say, So, Chris, you did SNL for 10 years.
On and off for
10 years? On and off for 8.
Yeah.
Okay. And I've understood that the background, like the culture there is very competitive. Like the backstage culture is very competitive. Like, you know, getting your bits on the air and getting the sketches. Did you feel, but I've heard people come out of there and say, I never felt that. I've had some guys say yes and some guys say no. Did you feel that when you were there?
Well, it is competitive, but, you know, I didn't feel like I was working against the other cast members as against just the structure of the show.
The system of the show, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like from talking to people who've been on there in the past, there were much darker days at the show than when I was there, and I feel really lucky, because while I was there, there was a little bit of backstage, you know, going at each other, but very little.
This infamous show story about Jay Moore. Was Jay on? Did Jay come on?
He was before me.
Okay, yeah. I mean, there's this infamous story about Jay Moore who like was so distraught about like how crazy it was there that he had a panic attack and he ran like 3 miles through Manhattan in dress shoes or something like that. You know, it's a waste of a good pair of dress shoes.
Well, it was hard in the sense that you never knew what kind of a show you were going to really have until the show was happening.
Right.
Because even if you had a great dress rehearsal, a lot of those pieces might get cut. And, you know, even if they didn't, you might go into the air show thinking, oh, I'm going to be in 4 pieces. Well, 2 of those pieces get cut because of time.
Right,
you
right.
You know, and it's like, oh, I don't actually have a show. So that was hard.
Do you feel like that was something that Lorne or other people of the show, they liked that air of kind of insecurity or you know, that people were going to go in and kind of not know where they stood, and that added somehow to, like, the tide of tension made the show funnier?
Maybe. I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, I think it was, I guess ideally they thought of it as a meritocracy, and that the stuff that got the best reaction in dress rehearsal would make it to air and would get a good position at air. Mm-hmm. And then the mm-hmm. stuff that was questionable, really questionable, would just get cut completely, and the stuff that was a maybe would get put towards the end of the show and might not make it on, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I don't know that it was a... It's hard to say what was kind of behind that.
Right, right. Because it's, you know, it's the kind of the infamous, you know, oh, yeah, backstage SNL, and it was this kind of cutthroat environment. Like I said, I've heard people say that it wasn't that way. But it's interesting, actually, Adam Reed, about the kind of the concept of competition in comedy and the idea that, like, is it a competitive environment that makes you funnier, or is it a comfortable environment that makes you funnier? And my personal philosophy is that you're funniest when you're safe, when you feel safe, when you feel like you can just kind of go nuts.
First, LifeLock. Child's information, particularly the Social Security number, has more value to scammers, of course. It's a clean slate for opening new credit lines. Kids don't have credit reports, so the thief can use their info and open new accounts and run up debts before someone even catches on. So many ways cyber criminals can take what's yours. Don't let them do it. There's a LifeLock identity theft protection. They add the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. If there's a problem, their agents will work to fix it, but you won't have a problem because you'll have LifeLock. We're coming right in on 2020. You're online all day, every day, buying everything. Your information's everywhere. Protect yourself with LifeLock, right, Dawson?
Known to prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Act now, and for a limited time, get 30% off your first year with promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or visit LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam to save 30%. Offer expires October 6th. Don't wait. Join now at LifeLock.com.
And that was Aisha Tyler guest hosting the Adam Carolla Show while Adam was off shooting his pilot for a TV show. And she did a great job. She could guest host anytime.
Yeah, it was a really interesting way of tackling the show. Some other people just seems like there was like, what do you want me to do? The Brody Stevens episode and a couple other examples. In this case, she handled it nicely.
I agree. All right, we got one more clip for everybody, and we know how you all love our musical performances on the show. Some of the greatest musical performances has happened on the Adam Carolla Show, and I'm so excited for this.
We're running out. There aren't that many, so it's going through the archive now trying to find these lost gems of like, oh, there was another performance here or there. And this is a solo episode with Miss Willie Brown who comes in the studio. They chat with Adam for a few minutes, and then they play a song. This is Adam Carolla Show 285, also from March of 2010. This is right about when you were probably turning in your resume.
I think so. Let's check it out. It's Willie Brown on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on, man. Get it on. And welcome to the podcast, Miss Willie Brown. We're going to do some music today, kiddies. Casey and Amanda are really the band. They brought along their guitar player, Sam, but we don't care about his last name. He's just a guy with some fingers and some strings who's going to be off helping the ladies when they do a song. Now, you guys were discovered at a barbecue stand. You've done Jimmy Kimmel Live, so you've definitely arrived. But tell me the path to glory. How were you discovered?
I guess we can start with how we met. Casey, it was working at Baby Blues Barbecue in Venice.
Mm-hmm.
And I was teaching music, like going to schools that like didn't have music programs like we used to go into them. And that place went out of business. And I was like, I have to find a job. And I remembered this amazing food that I had. I was like, I'm going to stop into Baby Blues and
see. Pretty much everything she does surrounds food.
Yeah, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in and I was like, can I get a job? Mm-hmm. And fortunately, I got a job. And Casey and I met. We started talking and she found out that I did music. I found out that she was a writer and that she did music too. And we both had songs and we said, let's just sit down and write. And so we did. So everything started out of there. Our songwriting started out of Baby Blues. All of our music, everything started from there. And then it grew.
You like the beef ribs or the spare ribs?
I like both. It depends. If I'm like, if I'm hungover, I like the spare ribs because they're salty.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm really hungry, I like the beef ribs because they're fatty and awesome.
I know. It's how I know we weren't meant to be vegetarians. When you're holding that animal bone. And like sometimes a waitress will come by just to fill up the iced tea and I'll growl at her and threaten her with a used bone.
And
you know
what? We're like, it's okay. We get it.
It's okay.
We totally get it.
Yeah. Like we start turning, you do like what dogs do and you start turning your back to other people. And like, get away from
you
shit.
Should see when we try to take the plates from them.
Yeah, I'm not done.
Oh, no. They like...
And like you're looking at it, you're like, there's nothing left but bone. And they're like,
take them home, boil them, and then push the marrow out with my tongue. Spread that on a Ritz. Get away from these bones. Yeah, I know.
People yeah, they're for your dog. Sure they are. They're for your dog.
I know. Sure.
No one
can
see your quotes.
There's no... The whole thing about like eating a rib is there's no official time to stop eating the rib. Because what happens is you eat the rib and you think you're about done with the rib, so you put the rib aside because you have five other ribs to get to. Once you go through the five other ribs, now it's time for a second pass on the graveyard of ribs that you've already gone through. That's when you know you have a problem. That's like when you're mixing booze or cough medicine or something. It's like as long as there's a rib that's filled with meat, this rib that's almost done is done until everything is done. Now it's time to go back and find the one that has the most left on the bone.
I agree.
Baby Blue is good though, huh?
Baby Blue is the best.
Because it's in Venice. I don't associate, to me, you can't be
Hollywood
too close to the ocean and make good barbecue, but you can do it over there.
We don't even try to convince people anymore. Yeah. Like we've stopped being like, hey, really, you should come in. Now we just bring people food.
Yeah.
And they're
like,
let the ribs do the talking.
I do.
Yeah, and we're both from the South, so it's kind of like
you know it.
Yeah, And yeah. everybody that comes in, Texas people are the only people sometimes that like I feel like are super judgmental about it. But
no,
they always end up loving it.
There's barbecue connoisseurs everywhere.
No, yeah. Texas.
Like, you know, when in like this, the whole sweet sauce versus mustard versus vinegar base. Memphis, you know, I mean, there's just so many styles of barbecue. Yeah.
I'm a pussy. I just like all that sweet molassesy sauce. I'm not so much for the rubs and the vinegar as much as I am with just a pure old.
Have
barbecue
you tried our
sauce.
New sweet sauce?
I haven't tried. I've never been there. I would always
really.
I don't mean, you know, I feel like we're getting off to the wrong foot, but yeah. Venice is not, the problem is Dr. Hoggly Woggly's Tyler Texas Barbecue is 6 miles from here, and Baby Blues is 21 miles from here, and so I'd go to the closer, I don't know if you guys have done the Dr. Hoggly Woggly's thing, but they do some pretty incredible barbecue. Mm-mm. I don't want to turn this into a, you know, barbecue standoff
hey,
or
look,
anything like
that. Look,
this is
where like
we started. That. We're good. But, but there is one good place in Van Nuys. It doesn't look good, but it is good. But I'd love to try it because I love bar. I don't know who doesn't love barbecue. I get angry. To me, people say they don't like barbecue are the same assholes that don't watch TV and don't like pie. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You guys should go to some island somewhere. And we need to weed you out of our society. You don't like
don't
pie.
Trust them.
You know, yeah. Oh, I don't watch. I don't. The worst is when they say the word own. I don't own a television set.
Yeah.
Well, unless you're dirt poor, or even in prison, you can have a TV set. What the fuck is wrong with you? You don't have TV. And by the way, you think I'm going to respect you for saying you don't have a TV? I would like my problem with eating barbecue is I can't bring my TV with me. I can't get a coaxial cable long enough to get the flat screen into the barbecue joint. Do you have TVs I can watch while I eat animals?
And there's one in West Hollywood. Is
that
has
oh, really? Tons of TVs. Tons.
Where's the one in West Hollywood?
It's on Santa Monica, a block west of Fairfax.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going.
Good.
I'm in.
Yeah. It was their one-year anniversary last night. We played it.
Oh, you did?
One-year anniversary. Yeah.
Well, speaking of playing, and then we can talk about you know being discovered and doing Jimmy Kimmel and doing a tour and all that stuff. How about we hear a song so that people who are listening who you know aren't familiar with the band will become familiar with the band.
All right.
Just like Jingle Jangle.
Do I have that good?
What are we doing?
What are you going to do? Let's do Bonafide.
What are you, Bonafide?
Yeah.
I should mention both the women in the band are beautiful, and that definitely helps, I think. I mean, we are an aesthetically oriented city over here. Let's be. And Casey, you got a little Miley Cyrus in you.
Man.
It's not bad. That's a good thing.
Well, you were doing the MC Hammer just now.
Because Miley Cyrus is known for doing the MC Hammer. MC Hammer is known for doing the MC Hammer. That's why it's called MC Hammer.
You know what?
Sorry.
You're too legit to quit doing the MC Hammer dance.
I am too legit.
Too legit to quit. He had to know if there was going to be trouble with the IRS after that. That's right. For making it too, and he was doing the two fingers and
too
like
legit to quit.
Yeah, right.
Too legit to quit.
To be fair, he never did quit. He just was forced out of the business by
right.
the fans. He didn't quit.
Totally
he's still
if
doing
being,
it.
If we're being truthful.
If we're being truthful, MC Hammer doesn't give up. It's just society gave up on MC. He did not quit on society. That's what I'm saying. Let's give the man his due. All right, so what's this one called?
Bonafide.
All right.
Oh, you want me to count off?
Sure.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4. West Virginia girl on a Louisiana night, fixing my hair, trying to make it right so I can get down and dance to the honky tonk. My little bitty baby that loves so much, hot damn if I didn't pull up to the place. Saw her there and the look on her face, and with the fear in his eyes, well, I just lean back and smile. 'Cause it makes me feel sick inside, and it makes me wanna drink a lot, makes me wanna curl up. Ball and feel safe, but mostly what it makes me want to do every single time that I think of you makes me want to stab you in the face. But I would never do that, 'cause I'm a lady and I keep my mouth shut.
and touch my beautiful baby that I love so much. Hot damn that night if I didn't find his wedding ring at his bedside. With a devil in my eyes, I just lean back and smile. Cause it makes me feel sick inside. Makes me wanna drink a lot. Makes me wanna curl up in a ball and feel sane. But mostly what it makes me wanna do every single time that I think of you makes me wanna stab you in the face. But I would never do that, cause I'm a lady and I keep my mouth shut when I'm feeling crazy. And even though it hurts me deep down and all the while, well, I stay out of jail when I sick inside me. Makes me wanna drink a lot. Makes me wanna curl up in a ball and feel safe. But mostly what it makes me wanna do every single time that I think of you makes me wanna stab you in the face. But I would never do that, cause I'm a lady and I keep my mouth shut when I'm feeling crazy. And even though it hurts me deep down and all the while, well, I stay out of jail when I smile. Yes, I stay out of jail when I smile. Yes, I stay out of jail when I smile.
I got a clip. Miss Willie Brown. God, that's so nice. Harmony sounded so great.
And that was Miss Willie Brown on the Adam Carolla Show. Great performance. Now, if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to Carolla Classics, the podcast, because we release an episode every Sunday. So we got another incredible clip show lined up for you tomorrow. Gio, what can we expect for our Sunday episode?
We got a little bit more 2010, this time from Adam Carolla Show 314. That was the first episode with Brian back from Europe after he was in Italy and then stranded because of the volcano. They suspended a lot of European air traffic, most of it, and he couldn't get home. And he's finally back in studio. He sounded decent, but you can tell he's in the midst of like speech therapy and stuff. He's just, you know, it's really an interesting time for him. They go like basically an hour with just him in studio before they even bring the guests, which are Matt Silverstein and Dave Jesser. So we got a piece of that next week, and maybe a little more after. And then we have Breck and Meyer live from Amalfi, as mentioned on the episode with Seth Green. As they're closing out, he goes, "Oh, you have my buddy Brecken in tomorrow?" Well, this is Tomorrow with Brecken. And then James Gunn, his third appearance from Adam Carolla's Show, episode 300.
All right. So great show lined up for you tomorrow. So make sure to subscribe to Carolla Classics. That'll do it for our Saturday episode. So we'll be back tomorrow. Can't wait to see you. Till then, my name's Chris Loxamana. Can't hardly wait. That's right. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo and get it on.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.